Shabbat Shalom. I'm a little out of breath. that scroll is not light. And I wouldn't even want to attempt what Pastor Sam and Dell do and lift it up over my head with just... Anyway, let's pray. Father, we ask that you would bless us today by your word, by your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and prepare our minds for what you'd have us take away from here today. Thank you, Father, for caring for all of us, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, amen. The past few parshas, I spoke about the size of the Israelite camp and trying to get us to visualize how big this mass of people and animals were. Balak sees Israel coming. He is scared. He describes them as covers the whole of the earth in Numbers 22:10. Balak wants them cursed. God blesses them instead. Moab's response: seduce Israel. That tactic of the enemy hasn't changed. Satan loves to get a foothold in the church. He loves to lead astray. He loves to seduce the church. That tactic, like I said, has not changed. Open your Bibles to Numbers 25. Beginning in verse 3. So Israel joined in worshiping the Baal of Peor, and the Lord's anger burned against them. The Lord said to Moses, take all the leaders of these people, kill them, and expose them in broad daylight before the Lord, so that the Lord's fierce anger may turn away from Israel. So Moses said to Israel's judges, each of you must put to death those of your men who've joined in worshiping the Baal of Peor. Then an Israelite man brought to his family a Midianite woman right before the eyes of Moses and the whole assembly of Israel while they were weeping at the entrance to the tent of meeting. When Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest, saw this, he left the assembly, took a spear in his hand, and followed the Israelite into the tent. He drove the spear through both of them, through the Israelite and into the woman's body. Then the plague stopped. But those who died in the plague numbered 24,000. Pinchas, Phinehas. This is where Aaron's grandson comes in and is rewarded for his act of zealotry in killing the Simeonite prince Zimri and the Midianite princess. These individuals were both children of leadership on opposite sides. God grants Phinehas a covenant of peace and priesthood. Parsha goes on, and we do the second census. The census of the people counts 601,730 men between the ages of 20 and 60. The first census resulted in 603,550. Israel was only reduced by 1,820 at this time. Now, the purpose of this census was for the division of the promised land. Moses is instructed on how the land is to be divided by lottery among the tribes and the families of Israel. In chapter 27, it begins with the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, belonged to the clans of Manasseh, sons of Joseph. The names of the daughters were Mahala, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. Tirzah. They approached the entrance to the tent of meeting. Then they stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders, and the whole assembly and said, our father died in the desert. He was not among those in Korah's rebellion. But he died for his own sin and left no sons. Why should our father's name disappear from his clan because he had no sons? Give us property among our father's relatives. So Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord said to him, what Zelophehad's daughters are saying is right. You must certainly give them property as inheritance among their father's relatives and turn their father's inheritance over to them. Say to the Israelites, if a man dies and leaves no son, turn his inheritance over to his daughter. If he has no daughter, give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, give his inheritance to his father's brothers. If the father has no brothers, give his inheritance to the nearest relative in his clan, that he may possess it. This is to be a legal requirement for the Israelites, as the Lord commanded Moses. What strikes me here, wives are not included. In our society, if a man dies, everything goes to his wife. Here, wives aren't even mentioned. The five daughters petition Moses, and they are granted a portion of the land belonging to their father. They made it a point to point out that he did not die as part of Korah's rebellion. We have to understand that back then, women were just a little bit higher than property. They really didn't have any rights, and they needed someone to take care of them, as in the case of Naomi and Ruth. Naomi and Ruth, this wouldn't apply because they're not, one was a wife and one was a daughter-in-law. Doesn't apply to them. God accepts their claim and incorporates it into the Torah's law of inheritance. Notice that the law, again, does not include wives. That's why Ruth needed Boaz. In verse 12 of chapter 27, then the Lord said to Moses, go up to the mountain in the Abram range and see the land I have given the Israelites. After you have seen it, you too will be gathered to your people as your brother Aaron was. For when the community rebelled at the waters in the desert of Zin, both of you disobeyed my command to honor me as holy before their eyes. These were the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the desert of Zin. Moses said to the Lord, may the Lord, the God of the spirits of all mankind, appoint a man over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man who is in the spirit, and lay your hand on him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority so the whole Israelite community will obey him. Because, and the last parsha, I spoke a lot about this too, is because of his misrepresentation of God, Moses was only given the opportunity to look at the promised land. Misrepresentation of God is a very serious thing. I mean, let me bring this out in another way. Moses took the Lord's name in vain. And we need to think about that. If we are ever to act as God's representatives, we need to be careful. And we need to act accordingly. Moses empowers Joshua to succeed him and to lead the people into the land of Israel. This whole episode here I can relate to. Basically what it is, it's a military change of command ceremony, which I've attended many, many of over the years. But that's exactly what it is. And we do the same thing in the church today. When we commission pastors, deacons, missionaries, we bring them before the assembly, we lay hands on them, and we commission them, and we send them out. So that is carried on even today. So what can we take away from this? Let us do what's right in God's eyes, as Phinehas did. He rose to the occasion. Everybody else was weeping, and what are we going to do? And he took matters into his own hands, literally, and took care of one of the problems. If you know what is right to do and you don't do it, what is that?
Sin.
Exactly, sin. Let's properly represent God. And let's also respect those who God places in authority. Shabbat Shalom.